Today, the title of my sermon is New. New. All of us love new things. Probably this is the part that we are quite similar to God. Do you know that when God created us, He has created our bodies to produce new cells? Amen? And do you know that God is the expert of doing new things? When just we know that we can predict Him, then you realize that God cannot be predicted. Yes, the weather, sometimes you can predict the weather, you can predict the seasons, but yet, when God works, you realize that it is always beyond our wildest imagination. While His attributes are consistent, He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, but the way that He works constantly change in every generation. He is still working, and often working differently. John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. The Word of God says here, let's read it out together, one, two, go. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we are all created to do the works of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Whatever that Jesus did, Jesus preached the good news, proclaimed the kingdom, Jesus prayed for the sick, Jesus cast out demons, Jesus rose the dead. That's the thing that Jesus did. And He said, you will do as well. It's not that we can do, but the Bible, Jesus says we will do. That means we can do it in His name, by His power. He says, greater works than this He will do, because I go to the Father and the Holy Spirit is given to us. That is why while Jesus is not physically here, His body is here on earth, continuing His work. That is why we are still celebrating Christ, because He's still working. Amen. That's why we are still expecting Him to work and to move and to bring a change and to bring revival into our world. So friends, today I pray that we will carry a new mindset, that I will do the work of Jesus. And Jesus said, greater works I will do. I do not know how, but I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Word of God says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you here are in Christ? Yes. So when you are in Christ, you are new. But you say, Pastor, I have become a believer for 5 years. Am I still new? Yes. Are you still in Christ? You are, right? If you are still in Christ, you are still new. It's not like, you know, I bought a car 5 years ago. 5 years later, now it has become old. So now I'm an old car. I'm an old Christian. I cannot move so fast already. Huh, you see those move very fast, always serve God, one new Christian, okay? I'm old Christian, I go slower. No. That's not how organic things grow, okay? If you are in Christ, your spirit will be renewed, your mindset will be renewed, amen? Your strength will be renewed. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So that's how we are, though not young, we are still doing fire camps, simply because, we are new creation in Christ Jesus. I will try, man. I'm 41 this year. I will try to do fire scam until I'm 80, okay? Okay, hopefully can still fit into some jeans. Don't cheer for me. You cheer for yourself. I cheer for you, all right? You can do it as well. Tell a neighbor and say, you can do it. You see, in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Let's read it out loud together. One, two, go. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amazing, like God wants to do it so new that even wilderness will have a road. It's like jungle will have a road. The desert will have a river. Isn't it amazing that God is so good? He's an expert in doing things unexpectedly. Just when you think that, my family is like that, God wants to do something in your family. Just when you think Malaysia is like that, let's believe God, God wants to do something new in Malaysia and in Penang. Just when you think your company is like that, it's the same seat, it's the same position, it's the same boss. Let me tell you, God can do something new. He led to do something new out of nowhere. And He will do it and He can do it. That's why the Bible says, you know, though we have so many languages, God says, I will give you new tongues. Hallelujah. And He said, to have new wine, you need to have new wine skin. And we want to the Word of God says, do not remember the former things. Because a lot of times, we like to say, I miss the good old days. I'm one of them that like the good old days of meeting together, don't like to use smartphone, you know, to connect too much. But I'm not talking about these things only. But more importantly is, we like to say, good old days, you know, our church was so fun. But let's look forward to the future. Amen. Our church continue with God's purpose and God's mandate upon us. Amen. Why not we believe God that greater days are ahead of us? If you believe that, come on, let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Greater days are ahead of us. So first thing, we need to know that God is a God who does new things. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, you have a new day. You have new strength. His mercies are new for you. Amen. And let's believe God, you got new strategies, new revelation of God. That God, I want to know you more. Okay, though I have followed you for 10 years, 20 years, I want to know you even more today. So God is a God who does new things. Secondly, we must understand that in order for us to receive the new things, the new Spirit of God in our midst, we got to have a new wineskin. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskin. We have read just now during offering, did we? Yes. Yes. Different translation. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. If God wants to do new things in your life, if He still does it without us having the new wineskin, we will break. So it requires us to have new mindset, new attitude, and readiness. That God, I say, God, I'm willing to be stretched. So this season, right, maybe it's time for us to renew our mind and say, there are certain things say, we just say, it's like Hokkien, right? It's easier to go back to the tradition. You know, like, stop saying that. Maybe say, with God, all things are possible. In Hokkien, how to say? Uyaso kalia pun eh. I don't know. All right, I'm not Hokkien. All right. So, like, let's do it. Do you know that all my life, I grew up in a Chinese church. Chinese. Like, nobody speak English. I grew up in a Malay school. Like, nobody speak English because in Kampong, you know, in our Kampong, nobody speak English. English is a foreign language. But when God called us to come to Penang, say, start a church for young people. English church. Okay, let's learn how to do church in English. Let's learn how to read the Bible in English. So all of us learn. You can ask Arthur. Right? Arthur was learning. I still remember after the first sermon, Arthur, how was my sermon? Pastor, I think it's good, but I only understand 10%, okay? Something like that. Sooner or later, he also began preaching and sharing in English as well. Amen. Hallelujah. If Arthur can do it, tell our neighbor you can do it as well. So, if we expect God to do new things, we must also prepare ourselves to do things that we have not done before. because that is the new wineskin, then you and I must learn how to ask from God. Maybe for some of us here, to have new wineskin, it simply means learning how to connect with people. It's as simple as that. So, oh no, I'm introverted, you know. I don't talk to people. I'm afraid of human. But you see, all these things are not really biblical. I'm an introvert as well, but I can function when God empowers me. If I have a choice, I do not want to talk, if I have a choice. But because I have a calling, so we learn how to talk. Is that okay? So I cannot be like some people who are so eloquent, like Joey, right? You know, he doesn't need a script. He doesn't need a script. He can probably talk for 3 hours. Okay, right. I need my script, okay? I need my points. I need to plan. I need to visualize. But that doesn't stop us, amen? So you can do what you have not done before because God is a God of new things. But today I want to just bring us through a story to see why it is so important for us to be new. When the children of Israel was powerfully, by God's mighty hand, delivered from Egypt, isn't it amazing? God sent 10 plagues and God opened the Red Sea and you walk through the sea, the middle of the sea. It was amazing that they, you know, were delivered from the most powerful nation of the world that time, Egypt and Pharaoh. They came out without bloodshed, being shed. They were safe and they were fine. They were doing all right. And then when they were in the wilderness, God said, now it's time for us to go and check out the new land, the new promised land, the Canaan land. And that's when in the book of Numbers, let's go to Numbers right now, verse 13, that's what God says. God spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So you are talking about 12 tribes, probably 2-3 million people, all right? And then 12 tribes, 12 leaders were to go to spy out the land. Mind you, this is not like normal members, you know. These are leaders, influential people, people who are capable. So they were sent out to spy out the land. Verse 25, and they returned after spying out the land after 40 days. So they spent 40 days to spy out the land. That must be a really detailed kind of study. Look through the land, look at the fruit, look at everything that they needed to see. 40 days. Let's look at verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him, said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. You know, when people talk sometimes, right, the front part normally is not the real thing. So they were saying that the fruit is good. The land is beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey. You must always hear the but. But, nevertheless, right, the people who don't know that are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. So it cancels out everything that they have said just now. It's the but. It's like, you know, I really love the Lord. You know, I really want to serve God, but the but is more important, right? I really want to reach out to my family. I really want to love my enemy, you know. You know, I really, but I cannot forgive. There's always a but. The nevertheless. And that's when they say, no, we cannot go up because they are too strong. Verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, hey, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb saw that it was the promise of God given to them. And God was led them from Egypt out. But yet now, they are to go and overcome their enemies. Look at verse 31. Then the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Friends, when God shows you a vision, when God shows you a plan, what do you see? Do you see the promise, or do you see the problems? Do you see the grapes, the big fruit, or do you see the giants? What do you see? Because they went to the same land, but the 10 spies, all they saw was the giants. They saw the problems, and they saw the good old days. What they saw was fear. Today, when God shows you a vision, do you see it with faith instead of fear? Do you look at the potential, or do you look at the good old days in the past? The children of Israel, these leaders, 10 of them, all they saw was what all the experienced experts normally say. According to our experience, cannot, right? Because they are giants. And you know, all these experienced experts normally can also self-fulfill the prophecy. Because when you say you cannot, you just don't do it, or you don't do it wholeheartedly, you just cannot, right? All of us have this ability to self-fulfill the prophecy. But you think the thing is this, there is a choice today. What do you want to see? And the fact is, a lot of times, if you want to live by faith, if you want to see the promise, if you want to live by God's plan for you, you will always be the minority. Tell a neighbor, ask your neighbor, are you willing to be minority? Minority, man. The truth is this. The mature will always be outnumbered than the immature. The full of faith will always be outnumbered by those who are full of fear. It's just very natural. That is why we need God. Amen. The assignment that God has given to us will not be accomplished by our own strength, because it is God-sized kind of assignment. If it is my assignment, I will do it according to my strength. But if it is God's assignment, we need to partner with God, we need to obey Him, and it requires faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the 10 spies, they were influencing the children of Israel. Let's go to the Bible again. Verse 6, chapter 14. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Verse 10. Let's read it out together. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Whew. Minority, and that's what you get, the treatment. Odd one out. And sometimes that is how it is. The congregation were driven and motivated by fear. Although they have witnessed Red Sea open for them. They have seen pillars of fire and cloud every single day. they have experienced manna falling down, feeding them. Yet, they chose to believe in what they see, and the enemies, they were afraid ahead of them. They were afraid of them. You see, a lot of times, how you view your enemies reflects your self-identity. They say not only will see the enemies is big and like giant, we are like grasshoppers, that's how they see us as well. You see, people who are insecure will always feel people look down on them. So if you feel people look down on them, the problem is not in others. It's the way you view yourself. We victimize ourselves. So I pray that today, instead of victimize yourself, why not depend on the cross, what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Our identity comes from Him. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. So the children of Israel, they are stuck right now, right? As they wanted to stone them, that's where God showed His glory. And I want to quickly bring you to verse 29. That's what God says. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in. They shall know the land which you have despised. You, your carcasses, shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. How sad. Sometimes we think our unbelief is just unbelief, but it changes our destiny. A lot of times we think, since God has delivered me by His mighty hand from Egypt, we think that's how God wants to bring us into the promised land. Say, God, why not you go out and drive out everything? I just come in and all my enemies will welcome me in. God wants to train our faith and our strength. God wants us to partner with Him. There is a season where God will fight for you. But there is another season that God will be by your side and we will fight together to get rid of the enemy. Do you know to do youth ministry, young people ministry in Penang, it's almost like fighting, because all the young people like to leave Penang to other places, right? Like, there's nothing here. And we are fighting against the tide. It's like going upstream. But we believe God, that God loves them. Amen? We believe that God has a purpose for them. And we do not want to not believe. Since youth ministry is just one ministry that people just pass by, after that they become adult, that's when they become useful. No. God loves the young people, and God will call them, and they will know Him when they are young. Let's not believe God that we always need to go to just the hospital. I tell you, if you believe in Jesus now, tomorrow, if you pass away, then you will go to heaven. Let's not go to the final moment to try to say, it's good to do that, but let's also do it when they are young so that they will know God. Amen? So we want to believe God that is our mandate. Why? Because when God decided to punish the children of Israel, God spared those who are 20 and below. God's saying that you say that these young people, your young men and women, will be victims, and I will show you they will not be victims. I will use them to go into the promised land. Isn't it amazing that those young people who may not have seen the mighty hands of God in the past, but yet they were the ones that inherited the promised land. Come on, the third point today. First one is new things. God will do new things. Number two, we must have new wineskin. But most importantly, God wants to raise a new generation. And you say, God, wow, new generation. We believe that. It's a fires camp. Yes, God loves young people. We will reach out to them. We will see them bring revival to every school, every campus. Why not we believe God that there will be Christian youths in every school changing the future of Malaysia and beyond. Amen? Why not we believe God that every school there will be like on fire people. They will study hard. They will excel in their study. They will honor their parents. They will be the shining light. While the world has been working so hard to tempt them through pornography, addiction, materialism, whateverism, you know. There's so many things. We want them to have the truth of God that will set them free. The Spirit of God that will lead them and anoint them. Amen. So we are going against the tide, but we believe that that is the promise of God. God wants to raise a new generation that will conquer the promised land. But you say, but I'm already... I have a good news for you. Not everyone above 20 could not enter. Joshua's family, Caleb's family could enter. Though they were not young at age, they were young at heart. I have hope. Hallelujah. You have hope too. Do you know when Caleb and Joshua, they were like, gonna sabotage lah by all these people who don't believe, right? They also had to wait for 40 years. Do you know when Caleb, after 40 years, he was 80 already, he told Moses, give me the mountain. Just like how, it's like a replay. 40 years ago, I wanted to conquer. All these people, okay, never mind, I waited for 40 years. I'm still ready, I'm still young at heart, I still have my strength. I want to believe God, all our church people, as old as you have grown, you will still have that strength of a youth. Amen? Our heart will be like a youth. Yes, well, our maturity must grow. Our power, our love for God must grow. But let's be renewed constantly by the Word of God. New things. New wineskin. And new generation. I believe that is what God wants to do in our midst. Caleb carried a different spirit. Today, who do you want to be? Do you want to be the majority or do you want to be the minority? The minority believes in revival. The minority believes in next generation. The minority believes in the power of God. The minority lives by faith and not by sight. The minority obeys God. The minority takes action, not just talk. The other children of Israel, they can talk, but they cannot walk. City Light, we are in this pivotal moment, not just for our church, but for Malaysia, for the kingdom of God, for the next generation. Well, the world is saying there is a generational gap. The world has changed so much, and so hope I better just mind my own business. But you see, God's purpose will never change. But the question is, will it happen in our generation or will it happen in the generations after us? See all these 10 spies, the 10 tribes, all they saw is, I cannot do it, my needs, my problem, right? Moses, can't you be more compassionate? Look at us, how do we fight? You know, we better go back to Egypt. in Malaysian slang lah, accent, you know. Oh, better go back to Egypt, you know, why bring us here? So the complaining spirit is not just in this generation, it's last time it's like that, you know, complain, complain. Cannot know how busy, how difficult it is. But Jacob, Joshua and Caleb is different. We can do it because God is with us. We can work, we can lead the young. Yes, we may be weak, but God is strong for us. If God can deliver us from Egypt, definitely God can deliver us from the enemies in Canaan. If God can open the Red Sea for us, God can make a road and then bring a river in wilderness and desert. That's what they believe about God. Today, as believer, we are to live by faith and not by sight. We are to trust in God and not in our own experiences. And if we do that, then we will see our generation and generations to come living in the promise of God. That we will see people calling out God's name. You know, when I look at the United States, not now, in the past, it was a God-fearing nation. Now, not anymore. But we look at Singapore. There's just so many believers rising up. And you see how God prospered them. But we are not after all these material things. But it's that freedom to worship God. It's that freedom to serve God. It's the freedom to reach out. And today, we are in this moment, we can decide, do we live for ourselves or do we live for the next generation? Do we live for the old things or do we live for the new things that God wants to do? I pray that today God will speak to all of us and say, God, I do not understand it all, but I choose to trust in you. Give me the new wineskin, God. I want to have the new wine. And it takes a life of surrender. You know, God doesn't always use the smartest people, but God uses the willing people. The people that God used in the Bible, they are all imperfect and they were written there for us to read. But they have a simple faith. Say, God, you are a God of new things. Church, why not we believe God that He loves Malaysia? He has not forgotten Malaysia. We're not looking at the politics and all that. But look at every life, every race, from the rich to the poor. Every language, God loves them. And today, we have come out from Egypt. Can we ask God to bring our entire generation into which is His kingdom, which is into Jesus Himself, that the light of God will shine in darkness and they shall be safe. Amen. Let's rise to our feet this morning. Why not you just ask God today, God, what is the old mindset? What is the lies? What are the lies of the devil that need to be debunked? That need to be replaced by the truth of God, by the promises of God? God is showing us, to some of us here this afternoon, choose to trust in the Lord. Let go of Egypt. It was easy for God to deliver them out of Egypt, but it was difficult to remove Egypt out of them. We have been set free, friends, from Egypt, from the spirit of this world. Be set free totally. Don't just be set free in your religion. Do you know that God is bigger than all our worries? Do you know God is bigger than all your future concerns? You know, God is bigger than all your needs. He says He's your good shepherd and He will take care of you. If He will take care of the birds in the air, He can take care of you. While the world tells you, worry more, plan more, prepare more. It's not wrong to prepare, but let's not do it out of fear. Let's trust in the Lord. In the past generation, we see how the early church fathers have laid down their life for the kingdom of God. We've seen how missionaries have come to Malaysia, started schools, served the community. They left their comfort zone. City Light, we have been so blessed as Malaysians. We have been so blessed to know God. Today, because we have been so blessed, we are not bound by the comfort zone. But we go in the comfort of the Lord. To go into the wilderness, to go into the Canaan land. To believe God that God will give us that promised land. Let's pray to God for revival, shall we? Why not we just lift our hands and begin to pray for revival.